Opinions expressed in this program are for general information purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or any specific security. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your financial advisor prior to investing. Any past performance discussed during this program is no guarantee of future results. Any indices referenced for comparison are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly. As always, please remember investing involves risk and possible loss of principal capital. Please seek advice from a licensed professional. Bulwark Capital Management is an investment advisor representative of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham on AM 770 KTTH. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Know Your Risk Radio is brought to you by Bulwark Capital Management, helping families navigate the ever-changing and often treacherous financial markets. Know Your Risk Radio starts now. Here's your host, Zach Abraham.
All right, welcome back to the show. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This is going to be a new experience for me. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that if you're just stumbling onto this program, you're lucking out, right? This is the most scintillating hour of finance radio. tongue very much in cheek. People go, that's kind of an oxymoron, man. I don't think it is, as a macro and finance nerd. Anyway, we're flying blind a little bit because I am currently, as you're hearing the show, I am finishing up a spring break with my kids and my wife down in San Diego. And I have no clue what's happened over this week. My guess would be that this week would see substantial equity rallies because that's been going on for 10 years, right? And the Fed's got your back. Fed put very much on, and they are determined not to let asset prices drop. So we're going to be flying a little blind. You'll have to forgive me if some of my information is outdated or something crazy happens, which it probably will because I'm gone on vacation. So I'll probably spend half my vacation on the phone and, you know, managing the portfolio like crazy. Kids will be like, Dad, I thought you were going to swim with us. Anyway, want to get into it. A market update as far as I know. Again, like I'm flying blind, but things we're watching right now, and I said this on last week's show, and forgive me if I'm proven wrong, but I no longer think that this is a bear market rally. I think that we are headed to higher highs. I think that we could go substantially higher, and this is sort of me throwing in the towel because once again, we have proven that economic data does not matter. We have seen some of the worst economic data prints in the last 3 months, and markets haven't cared. For those of you that are more on the traditional side of things, you'll be like, oh, that's because it was an economic scare. That's nonsense. It wasn't an economic scare. Germany is currently in recession. Australia is verging on the edge of recession. China's putting up the weakest economic output that we have literally seen in 25 years. This is much more serious than that. The problem is it doesn't matter because you have a global financial system that is completely dependent on liquidity. And if liquidity pumps, it's got to flow somewhere and it's going to continue to go into stocks. And the interesting thing is, as interest rates go lower, which we have seen happen now over the last 4 months, especially over the last 6 months, drastic pullbacks on the rate of the 10-year U.S. Treasury, mortgage rates have dropped again. You remember when we've got a debt-reliant economy, which we look, there's no question we are. Okay, we're not China. We're a cleaner, dirty shirt than they are by a wide spread. But the point is that as debt issuance goes, is how our economy goes. Bottom line, it's just the reality. Okay, so you can sit there and be like, oh, it's just another typical economic scare. That's why you got to own stocks all the time. You know, if you want to believe that, fine. I can't stop you from believing things that are completely irrational, ridiculous. But we have to adjust to the fact that we have asset prices and markets now that are not driven by normal economic forces. They're just not. Things here in the United States aren't bad, but they are nowhere close to justifying these kinds of valuations. The other thing that we got to consider is when you see stocks going up, there were several times over the last 3 months during this rally where it looked like things were about ready to break down. And all of a sudden, you would just see this grind slowly over the course of the entire trading day of stocks just incrementally ratcheting back up higher and erasing losses. You know, look, the vast majority of that was corporate stock buybacks. They're buying back their own stocks. So one of the biggest things, even if you don't become a client, even if you don't call us, one of the biggest things that I want to educate investors about is that you have to understand the days of looking at the stock market and saying that's a reflection of economic reality in our country, that they're long gone, right? Those are the days of yorn, to put it in holiday terminology. Those days are gone. It's history. Okay. What you're seeing is an environment where asset prices reflect liquidity and what central bankers want them to reflect. And whether we like that or not, it doesn't really matter. That's the reality on the ground. And I am convinced now that this thing does not end until inflation becomes a problem. And the reason you're hearing that capitulation in my voice, and if you're sitting there going, Zach, you've been saying for so long, guys, I thought something would break. I didn't think that they'd be able to keep it up. Now, hopefully you followed, again, even if you're not our client, hopefully you have followed our advice and our recommendation, which is, hey, even though we see things like this, we're going to proceed with caution, but we've got to maintain that portfolio discipline and we've got to have that stock exposure. This is exactly why, and it's one of those things that I know. I'm fully aware. I'm sitting here admitting that I've had a much more bearish outlook, and I continue to. Right? This ends badly, right? There's no question, guys. The math just doesn't add up. I mean, you could be a second grader that knows arithmetic, and you'll see in short order that this just doesn't add up. We can't do it. We can't do it on a fiscal basis here in the United States with debt and interest rates going up and you know, debt servicing costs going up. It's a completely unsustainable system, okay? But they've hijacked it, right? They've figured out that if we keep providing liquidity to these markets, it's got to flow somewhere. And as economic problems around the world pick up, that will actually probably translate to even higher U.S. asset prices, because where are you going to put your money in times of turmoil? It's going to flow here. And now on the flip side of it, you might be hearing me say that and go, well, then, Zach, why are we safe at all? Well, because life is what happens when you're busy making plans, right? We all know that. We've all experienced that. We talked about this. The exact philosophy behind what I'm saying now is what led us to our comments about Boeing, you know, a month ago before any of this nonsense started, where we just said, look, one of the reasons we don't buy assets that are priced to perfection, even if we think they're going to continue going up, is things happen. Life happens. Reality gets in the way. And when they do, all of a sudden the shine or the veneer comes off of an asset or a market and everybody starts going, okay, where's the bottom? What's the real value of this asset? And you see assets get radically repriced over a very short period of time. And I think that something along the lines of a real war or a Chinese blow up, I think that something of that magnitude that disrupts this cycle of central bank intervention into markets, I think that at this point, that's the only thing that's going to unravel it. I thought Jerome Powell, when he got put in or installed as the head of the Fed, I thought he was going to have a more sober view. We talked a little bit about this on last week's show with Chase Taylor of Pinecone Macro Research, our thoughts about Jerome Powell and how they ended up not being true. And it just, the reality hit me all of a sudden. I just sat there and I went, look, they can't introduce reality back into these markets. If they do, the whole thing blows up. And you might be sitting there listening to me going, well, that's a really dour, bearish outlook, Zach. And it's not, guys. I'm literally sitting here at this right now while I'm telling you this, also telling you that I really think markets are going to go significantly higher from here. We're just trying to assess the reality on the ground. And we've just got to wrap our heads around the idea that stock valuations do not reflect economic reality like they have in the past. They just don't. And we've got 10 years of proof, right? And for those of you who go, no, we don't. We got economic recovery. Look, here's the bottom line, okay? And this is why I think we need to get past so much of the nonsense that you hear on CNBC, the stuff you hear Jim Cramer saying, all these other places, and get down to brass tacks, okay? Not talking in riddles and old wives' tales about, you know, you can't fight the Fed. What is the reality on the ground? And the reality on the ground is we have had the worst domestic growth here in the United States over the last 10 years of any time in our country's history, including the Great Depression. And during that 10 years, The S&P has rallied 330% off the bottom coming out of the financial crisis. And the NASDAQ's up nearly 520% off the bottom. Real estate's at record highs. Bond valuations at record highs. Everything. Okay, if that isn't proof enough that economics are not driving markets, I don't know what is. And if you still think that traditional valuation and traditional rules and all these things apply, you know, more power to you. You know, I wish I could take that pill. And I wish I could live in that nonsense land that you're currently in, because it's just not. And we've got to adjust to it. It's very frustrating for me for being a value-based guy. Look, we know that value will win out eventually, because everything goes back to its intrinsic value. It eventually will. But we also have to acknowledge that the people that print money, the people who are in charge of the world's global money supply, are determined not to let asset prices drop. And they have figured out that if they keep flooding markets with liquidity, they can get asset prices to reflect what they want them to. And so for those of you sitting there saying, well, we still live in the US of A and da-da-da, listen, this is not a free market. This is a market where asset prices are being controlled by central banks. They will lose control. It will end up in economic devastation. But there's no clue on when that is. And it certainly doesn't look like it's right around the corner. And as we go further along, I am now convinced that it's going to take a major event of some kind that takes the keys away from central banks and makes them get religion in a hurry. When that happens, the sobriety that is going to come into the market in an overnight manner is going to be stunning. And in my opinion, we'll probably see a crash or a correction that rivals that of the Great Depression, an economic reset of some kind. The world won't end. People just wake up with substantially less money than they had the day before. But here's the deal. I don't think that that's imminent. I think it's inevitable, but I don't think it's imminent. Now, what do we do with that? Right? Where do we go with that? If my clients are sitting here listening to this show thinking, Zach, well, you've been saying, and that's the reason we invested with you. Now, it's actually going very much according to plan. And thank goodness we've taken the, and again, I'm not bragging at all. There's a lot of things I'd do differently. Would I have more stock exposure over the last 8 years? Yes. But we always had some, you know, at least 50% for the most part. At least, well, actually, probably more like 65, 70% in general. But we've gotten more conservative over the last 2 years. And we were right, too, right? The market's gone nowhere essentially over the last 17 months. You know, to give you an idea, the high that was made last January was 2873 on the S&P. We're at 2904, not even 1% above that. So we're flat, essentially, for the last 16, 17 months. So we were right to do that. But here's the thing. I think we're going to see liftoff. I think in very short order, we're probably going to break the highs that were set last September. And I think this market's going substantially higher. I actually look at a lot of the analyst estimates on the street right now calling for a 7% gain into year end. Or, again, nobody including me. This is not trading advice. I'm not encouraging anybody to take action on this. But I think we could see a year similar to 2017. I think we could see a year similar to 2013 where the market rockets way higher than anybody thinks. And I know that's very contrary to what I've been saying, but like I said, what is our job? Our job is to get our clients very good risk-adjusted returns, make sure that they're within their risk tolerance, make sure that we've got a portfolio that regardless of what happens, whether I'm right or I'm wrong, that it accomplishes the goal of financing retirement. That's what we're in, and we're going to continue to do it that way. But I also want to wake people up. You know, your hardcore bears out there, I understand. And I'm so sympathetic because in the long run, I'm right there with you. But we've got to take that sober look at things and realize, guys, don't even pay attention to unemployment. You don't need to look at that kind of stuff. Don't look for clues of what's going on in the market. If you do, you're wasting your time. This is a single page book. Okay. And on that page, there is one line. And that line is don't fight the Fed. Okay. Central bankers, like never before, are determined to keep asset prices elevated. And that is what they're going to do until they can't. And that's just that's where we're at. And the thing that's scary to me is that the way this ends, it's going to end generationally bad. We're going to experience, and we're due, right? It's been 90 years since the Great Depression. This is not economic doom and gloom. This is just reality. And I'm just trying to wake people up to it. And do I hope I'm wrong? Yeah, I really do. I hope that we have a smaller issue and that we're able to resolve some issues and move forward. But if you take another step back and you look at the political climate today, tell me how that's going to be possible. I mean, we can't even agree that babies that are born unequivocally have the right to live. I'm not talking still in utero. I'm talking born. Okay? That's how far off the rails we are. And it's not just culture. It's finance, too. They're reflecting each other. And it's la-la land. And the other thing that irritates me is that when this all started, I remember sitting there thinking to myself back in 2009 and 2010, I remember sitting there thinking to myself, you know, this is a disaster waiting to happen. We've just papered over all the problems of 2008, 2009. We didn't reinstitute Glass-Steagall and break up the banks like we should have done, which is a weird admission for me because that means that Bernie Sanders and I agree on something, which is, you think politics makes strange bedfellows, try finance. It's an odd place to be, but we didn't fix anything. We doubled down. We treated debt, right, which that's what it was. 08, 09 was a debt blow up. We treated it with more debt and a record level of it. We tacked on $10 trillion plus now. We're more like approaching 12 of new debt just in the last 10 years. It's incredible. And so what I want you to do is have a sober look and a sober view of what's going on, but also an understanding. Now, have that being said, like I was alluding to earlier, if this is indeed the case and I'm right, why aren't we stepping on the gas on the stock side of things? Because like I said, reality typically comes at you fast. And it's the bullet you don't see that gets you. And we have to maintain a cautious standpoint, but still be in a place to benefit from rising markets. And this is the very, you know, I like I said, I feel very thankful and very blessed. And for that matter, lucky that we took the prescription that we have over the last 10 years, because like I said, there were several times where recessions were beginning. 2011, 2012 was one of them. And the whole way, you know, that's the other interesting thing about this, because in the history of finance, and again, for those of you that have been in markets and been investors for a long time, which you probably have if you're close to retirement, you know what I'm talking about. There's all these histories of scares, right? Economic issues. And we end up seeing them coming. We might get some gyrations in the market, but it's nothing crazy. And you're always benefited by holding on, right? Just riding it out. Because we solved things or we fixed things. And that's another big difference with what's going on today. You know, whether it was 08, 09, like I said previously, we didn't fix anything. We just papered over it. 2011, 2012, people refer to it as the Euro scare. The Euro was going down. Okay, the whole Eurozone was going down. And there was one line that saved it. Completely artificial, but there's one line that saved it. Mario Draghi, the head of the ECB, stood up there and said, whatever it takes. Meaning that they would print until they couldn't print anymore, and that's what saved the Eurozone. Now, did it save it? No, that's my whole point. Nothing on the ground, none of the reality has changed. You know, the Eurozone is a joke. Does that mean European equities couldn't rally because the liquidity spigots have been turned on? No, they could. Now, I will say this. My entire career, and some older mentors of mine who've been in the business for much longer than I have, for their entire careers, everybody's always talked about what a buy European stocks were. Okay, and that's been proven, you know, that hasn't been the case for the last 20, 30 years. But this time it could be. They could go up just because liquidity's got to flow places. But my whole point in saying this is we need to understand that the scares that we've had, without exception, the market scares that we've had over the last 10 years and gotten through it, people have the, oh yeah, that was a scare back there. It turned out to be nothing. No. It didn't turn out to be nothing. We just papered over it. Central bankers found a new toy in 08, 09, and they don't want to put it away. They want to keep playing with it. And We've fixed nothing. We have solved nothing. They weren't scares. They were realities that they just papered over. And so we've got to accept that. We've got to accept that this is going to last a lot longer than most of us thought. Now, getting back to what I was saying, I feel lucky because we've been conservatively positioned throughout the majority of this, but we haven't suffered on the return side of it. Thank God. Is the last thing you want to do with people in retirement is sit there and watch them ride out one of the most vicious bull markets to the upside in the last, you know, ever. Right now, it's the longest bull market in history. But it doesn't mean we throw caution to the wind and jump into the deep end of the pool because Zach said he thinks markets are going to go a lot higher. As I always say, guys, I'm not unlike anybody else. I don't have a crystal ball. I do think that's going to happen, though, because I think that we are on the cusp, much like I am as an economy and generally in the marketplace, of getting the full realization that, hey, reality no longer matters. It will. It will. It always does. But it's going to take longer than most people think. And the market is now dictating what's going on, right? Jerome Powell said he wanted at least three or four more rate hikes in 2019. And this year, market throws a fit, drops 20%, and they get him running right back out saying, nope, never mind, won't do it. So the tail is very much wagging the dog. And I don't see that changing. There's not the political will for it to change. And like I said, there's going to have to be some blow up. So what do we do about it? Well, that's what we're going to focus on in this show. And we're going to go back to, we're going to have another special on the dirtiest word in investing, how that plays a role in our portfolios. And how do we invest in an environment where we know it's fake, where we know that these assets are propped up, yet at the same time, inflation is a very real risk. And I think real inflation is running a lot hotter than most people recognize. We'll get into that a little bit. So we're going to talk inflation. We're going to talk dirtiest word in investing, and we're going to talk macroeconomic forces that could potentially draw an end to this and where we see things going. So as always, if what we're saying resonates with you, and look, I really hope it does, not just because I want you guys to become clients. Now I'm not. Now, look, if you want to become a client, you can certainly give us a call and we'd be happy to talk to you. And you know how to do that. If you listen to the show before, call 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can get our Common Sense Investing booklet that Dory talks about on his show all the time. It's actually how he became a client. No kidding. I don't know if many people know that. Darren, did you know that? You see, you weren't even paying attention. You're watching the Masters. You're a heck of a multitasker. But anyway, yeah, Dory became a client much like all of our clients have. It wasn't an agreement or a marketing scheme that we pulled off. He just heard me speaking at a conference and spent a lot of time vetting us very thoroughly, most thoroughly we've ever been vetted. And anyway, became a client through that process. And the biggest part of it was that Common Sense Investing booklet. Kind of changed the way he looked at things. So anyway, you can get our Common Sense Investing booklet. You can go to the podcast page. You can go to the resources we've got. You can see our white paper that was put out by Roger Ibbotson, PhD at Yale, worked for Milton Friedman at the University of Chicago. You guys know what to do. You can also follow us at KYR Radio on Twitter. And as always, listen to the show from 1 to 2s on Saturdays and go to the podcast page. So anyway, we got to wrap this up and get to our next segment. But first, we got to take a quick break. But we'll be right back. Thank you for joining us. And you are listening to Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
This is Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham. Listen to Zach discuss key investment strategies across several asset classes, not just stocks and bonds. Get your free copy of Zach's new booklet, Common Sense Investing. Go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Volatile markets are never fun, but it provides the opportunity to see exactly how much risk you're exposed to. Like Warren Buffett always says, when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming without their trunks on. Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Chances are the defense portion of your portfolio, the bonds, got hit right along with your stocks. So what do you do? Look, safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. By using our bond replacement strategy, our clients have actually increased their returns while being insured against loss and all the while lowering their fees. Call now and get your free copy of our brand new booklet, Common Sense Investing, and learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything that you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. And that's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do to find out about all the different plans they offer. Brian does have a few classes coming up this month. Seats are limited, so sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. Go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
Hey, it's Story Monson with my financial advisor, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. And Zach, what I love about you guys is your focus on risk management.
Well, Dory, we're a fiduciary and a holistic retirement planning firm. Our goals are simple. Get our clients the highest returns with the least amount of risk and cost.
I know they're normally used for safety, but how risky are bonds right now?
If a significant portion of your retirement portfolio is in cash or bonds, that just doesn't work in this low interest rate environment on the verge of inflation. You need a bond replacement strategy.
I gotta tell you, you have to read it. Zach's brand new version of Common Sense Investing. You'll learn that bond replacement strategy, learn how to protect your retirement against loss, but still participate in market gains. Call now, get your free copy, 866-779-RISK. That's 866-779-RISK, or go to knowyourriskradio.com. Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, a registered investment advisor.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show, and as always, thank you for joining us, and let's get right into it. So, we haven't done this in a little while, and I want to revisit this, the dirtiest word in investing, and, you know, I've been very thankful for stumbling on this in 2012, because it has played an intricate role in our portfolios. And it continues to, be one of the biggest things that have given our clients an advantage, both on cost and risk reduction and making money. And for those of you that haven't joined us before and aren't familiar with the dirtiest word in investing is annuity. Now, before we get going down this road again, I want to reiterate that we are a registered investment advisor. We are a fiduciary. Our platform where our clients hold their stocks and mutual funds and ETFs and all is TD Ameritrade. So we are not an annuity shop by any stretch of the imagination, despite what some of our competition says about us. So let's get into the word annuity. First of all, there's so much consternation and it is such a dirty word. And why? Okay, I'm just going to come out and shoot from the hip. One of the reasons that the annuity is become such a dirty word is because most of them are not good. The very premise of annuities is attractive. In the fundamental definition of what an annuity is, it's we hand over ownership of a pile of money in exchange for a lifetime stipend from the insurance company, meaning we lose the optionality or the control over that level of capital, and we exchange it for a guaranteed stream of income for the rest of our lives. That's very attractive to some people, but the reason it's attractive to people is for all the wrong reasons. There's security involved in that, but it's not the kind of security people think, especially when you're investing in something like that in a 0% interest rate environment, which of course is going to impact the amount of guaranteed income that they will give you, right, through the annuity companies. And this is why when we were dealing with our 0% interest rate bond issue, okay, and now to take one more step back, general financial theory, the closer we get to retirement, the more conservative our portfolio should get, which is very true, because drawdowns hurt us more, losses hurt us more in retirement because we're relying on that money. We're no longer paying money into our investment accounts. We're taking it out. So any market losses are exacerbated. They're blown up. They can be life-altering events. Right? How many times have we seen people have to go back to work or be greeters at Walmart because their portfolio took a bath? We've seen that movie play out twice in the last 18, 19 years. So we very much have to adhere to that general theory of making things less risky as we move toward retirement. But here's the problem. The problem is that what we've traditionally used to do that is bonds. And the reason we've traditionally done that with bonds is because, and again, if you walk into any financial advisor's office, if you call your current financial advisor, now I'd encourage you to do this. I think it's a great way to check the competency level of your financial advisor. I also think it's a great way to vet him and make sure he knows what he's talking about and he's not just relying on financial platitudes that are fed to him by the people that run his financial institution. And like I've said many times in the past, the vast majority of these guys, these financial advisors, they're not bad guys. But they are horrifically undereducated. And so the vast majority of these guys, other firms that we're in competition with, they are still using bonds as the safe vehicle because that's what they've always done. And then they're going to show you historical charts that say this is why we've done it. Unfortunately, these gentlemen and ladies that are doing this do not understand the way bonds work. Right? Bond is a debt. It's somebody else's debt that we are buying. And in exchange for that, like all other debts, they've got to make us interest payments and they've got to pay us back that capital at a future date. Now, historically, especially over the last 40 years, bonds as an asset class have done phenomenal. I want to say Barclays Ag is something like 6.5%. Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, 6.5% per year over the last 40 years. And these are the kind of charts that your financial advisor is going to show you. But here's a giant caveat, guys. We have seen the longest bond bull market in the last 40 years ever because interest rates peaked in the 80s and started dropping. So to get back to the dirtiest word in investing, we were looking at this in 2011, 2012 in response to 08, 09. What did the central banks around the world do? They dropped interest rates to zero. Bonds went to record high valuations. As interest rates go down, bond valuations increase. And I don't want to get into all the mechanics of that because we'll waste too much time. We've spoken a lot about it on previous shows. But in general, when you see interest rates rising, know that your bonds are losing value. When you see interest rates dropping, know that your bonds are gaining value. So here's the problem. When we've got record low interest rates, now the Fed's raised a few points, but we're still only at 2.5 on the Fed funds rate. So in the next recession, if they want to cut rates, where can they go? They can only drop rates 2.5%. That's not going to provide that much wind in the sails of most of your bonds. Okay. Not only is it not going to provide wind in the sails of most of your bonds, it probably won't increase the value of most of your bonds because most people have a disproportionate amount of corporate bonds because they pay higher rates of interest. And financial advisors, like everybody else in the 0% interest rate world, we're trying to find ways to generate more yield, more interest off the safe investments that we own. Now, the problem is that when rates drop to zero, it's typically in a recessionary environment or when there's been some kind of economic shock. And so traditionally that puts wind in the sails of bonds. But that's not what happened in 2008, 2009. Bonds dropped right around 25% right alongside stocks. Now, why was that? Well, it was because we had a debt blow up. The bonds were the problem. Now, remember what we said earlier in the market update, right? How do we respond to that? We responded to it with more debt. So currently we look at the corporate debt markets and they are over double the size they were in 2007, which means corporations on average own double the amount of debt that they did in 2007. Now, our outlook and the last 10 years have mimicked this. flies in the face of modern financial theory. And this gets back to what I want you to ask your advisor. Why do we own bonds? What he's going to tell you is that bonds are the defensive part of the portfolio, and when stocks drop, bonds go up in value. Okay? Well, like I said, that didn't happen in 08, 09 because of that was essentially a debt blow up. The interesting thing is that hasn't happened for the last 10 years either. Stocks and bonds move together. Why? Because the world is reliant on debt. The world is addicted to debt. And when things look shaky in the economy, people start worrying about, you know, recessions and foreclosures, and the debt sells off just like, you know, just like stocks do. And people go from corporate bonds to U.S. Treasuries. Now, more importantly, so over the last 10 years, the bonds have not done 10 years, guys. I'm not talking 10 months, 10 years. Bonds have not done what your financial advisor has told you that they would do. More importantly, they didn't do it during 08, 09 when you most needed them to do it. So now you've got a scenario where bonds are not. Now, and I spoke about this on the show before. We actually dug into it deeper. We said, okay, so if bonds and stocks are not moving in that you know negatively correlated way, that inverse correlation, meaning that when one goes up, the other one goes down and vice versa. If they're not doing that, is there any period of time where this has happened, or is this just an aberration? Well, what we found is that over the last 150 years, and we're relying on other people's research on this too, it's not just ours, but over the last 150 years, bonds and stocks, that rule that your financial advisor tells you, stocks go up, bonds go down, stocks go up, that's been true about 30% of the time over the last 150 years. And the vast majority of that has been in the last 40 years because of interest rates dropping at a very steady and fast pace since we peaked in the 80s with interest rates. And so they have not done what they were supposed to do. And yet, when we look in financial, you know, in historical context, that's nothing new. They typically don't. But we've just got financial advisors looking focused like a laser beam on just the last 40 years and not realizing, hey, guys, there's a lot of financial history that exists outside of the last 40 years. There just is. So getting back to how that plays out in our research, we started looking at this and saying, okay, so bonds are not providing the defense. That's the first problem. They're also not paying us anywhere near the rates that they have in the past because of record low interest rates. We also know that one of the things that's made bonds a beautiful investment over the last 40 years was those ever-decreasing interest rates. As rates go down, bond valuations go up. Well, they can't go down anymore. Right? We're basically right at the bottom. So now we're sitting on an asset class that's supposed to be our safe investment that has not acted as a hedge against our stock portfolio for the last 10 years. And through our research, we've realized that it's only acted as a hedge against our stock portfolio 30% of the time over the past 150 years. Okay, so erase that advantage to owning bonds. Now go on to what are bonds going to pay us? Well, we've already established interest rates are at near record lows, so they're paying us a fraction of what they should. So let's say the average bond portfolio is paying 3% interest. Okay. We need to subtract some money for fees. So let's take out 0.2% for 12B1 fees, or 0.5 or 0.1% for ETF bond fees. That takes down, we'll call it 2.8. Then your advisor is charging you somewhere between 1.25% interest. So that takes us down to what? 1.5, 1.6. Guys, there are CDs out there with zero interest rate risk or zero risk of default paying 2.5 to 3%. Why in the world are we sitting there paying our advisor as much or more than we are making on an investment? And the whole reason we own it then is for defense, and that hasn't been the case. And we've just found out that it hasn't been the case for 70% of the time over the last 150 years. Why are we doing it? Because that's what Wall Street sells, right? They sell companies stocks. And they sell their bonds. And the other part of it is the vast majority of guys out there managing money. If we look at all the guys that are very predominant, especially for retail investors, right? The big brokers, the financial advisors that the richest guy in the neighborhood goes to. Guy manages $250, $300 million. He cites his experience. I've been doing this since 1982. All that other kind of stuff, right? He's never seen an environment sustained anyway where interest rates were rising. All he's seen for his entire career is interest rates going down and bonds being this beautiful vehicle that pump out 5 to 6.5% interest per year. And then, oh, by the way, also go up in value every time the market drops. And this gentleman cannot wrap his head around the fact that it doesn't work that way anymore. That when you hit 0% on interest rates, you're at the end of the runway. You've run out of runway. And so we just made a very simple call back in 2012, said, hey, we got to find a different solution. We got to find something that does play that defense for our clients, that at least is guaranteed to hold its value, and that we know that no matter what happens in the world, it'll be there and can possibly go up in value like bonds had historically for periods of time, that can go up in value when bad things happen and stabilize that portfolio. But we also have to recognize, look at the facts for what they are. Bonds aren't doing it. They haven't done it. And in my view, they're not going to. I think we've returned to normal, the last 40 years of the aberration. So what did we do? This gets us back to the dirtiest word in investing. I hated annuities. And I do still, most of them. But we found a small corner. Now it's growing. It's growing in popularity because of this problem. Which is really interesting, too, because you hear the guys like Ken Fisher raging against annuities. Why is he raging against annuities? Because that's not what he sells. But if you're a fiduciary like we are, what is your job? Your job is to get your clients the best risk-adjusted returns and to accomplish their retirement goals. Guys, honestly, I don't really care where those returns come from. I don't care if it's cattle land. I don't care if it's sewer pipes. I don't care if it's installing turnstiles at an airport or a subway. If it is a good, low-risk, risk-adjusted investment for our clients that we expect is going to lower risk, lower cost, and deliver higher returns, then that is our moral obligation to seek those products out. And that's what this dirtiest word in investing, that's what this new type of, not new, but it's come a long way, especially in the last 10 years, this type of annuity called a fixed indexed annuity. Now, there are a lot of bad fixed indexed annuities out there. I hate it when people paint with a broad brush. There's so many. You've got variable annuities. You've got single premium indexed annuities. You've got fixed indexed annuities. You've got fixed annuities. There's so, when we say annuities are bad, that's like saying stocks are bad, right? It's ridiculous on the face of it. So the type we like are fixed indexed annuities that are stripped down to what we call just the chassis, meaning that they don't have any guaranteed income on them. They don't have any enhanced death benefits. They don't have any of that extra rider stuff. They don't have premium bonuses. So when you sign up, you get 6% up front. None of that stuff. Why? Because it lowers your rates of return. Also, when you put any of those things onto an annuity or a fixed indexed annuity, it comes with two door prizes. Think of it this way. You go from the type we use have no fees, no upfront cost, no management fees, and no back end cost. They just don't. That's true. You can look it up. You cannot believe me. That's fine. We do it every single day. Okay? But that's because we strip it down to the chassis. If you add those extras on that are always so attractive to people, if you add them on, you're tacking on average 1.2% annual fees. Some are as low as 0.95, but right around 1.2 is the average. And then typically, you're also going to put a cap. So they'll tell you, hey, you can go up 50% of the S&P. If the S&P 500 goes up 50% or 10%, you're going to get 5. If it goes up 20%, you're going to get 10. We're going to give you 50% of the annual performance of the S&P 500, but you accepted all these extras, so we're going to cap you at 6%. So now you've got an investment that is indexed to the stock market, but it costs you 1.2% a year, and the best it can make is 6. So what are you going to average? Well, the most you can make is 4.8% a year. Okay? But we know the market doesn't go up every year. So what we see over time is that these products average usually right around 2.5%. And they lock up your money and have liquidity issues. Okay, so the kind that we were attracted to that we didn't even know existed were the kind that we could strip all that stuff off, and now we're just left with a product that's got no limit to the upside. So we have seen these products make 17, 18, 19, 20% in a single year. That's not a guarantee. That's not the average. Historically speaking, you look for these products to average between 5.5 on the low side, 6.5, 7 on the high side, right around that 6% level. I think that's a good historical mile marker. Like I said, they've done better than that. And the reason that we were attracted to these is we went, okay, first of all, security. Does it provide us the security bonds does? Well, it's insured against loss and backed up by the state of Washington. So it actually provides a higher level of security. Okay, what about fees? Does it cost us more than bonds do? Nope, it's got no management fees. If you use the kind we're talking about, it's got no management fees, no upfront fees, no hidden fees. Just anybody can tell you whatever they want. They don't know what they're talking about. We've done exhaustive research on this. We've used them in portfolios for the last 8 years. And just if they can argue with me all they want, they don't know what they're talking about. And furthermore, if you want to argue with me, if you want to debate this, give us a call. I'll have that conversation with you and I'll just show you the contracts. It's pretty simple. We put all the cards out on the table. We're not, you know, we're not trying to trick anybody. So anyway, so cost. Do they cost more than bonds? Nope. Because if we're worried about security and we're worried about record low interest rates and we're worried about our clients not making anything, one of the easiest things that we can do is lower the cost on the portfolio. The cost of your portfolio is the only guaranteed aspect. Anything in the world can happen in markets, and I can make you one guarantee. You're going to pay your fees, right? So if we're really worried about all these macroeconomic things and 0% interest rates and pending inflation, that looks like it's coming on hot right now, by the way, then one of the easiest things we can do is just lower the cost, lower that cost of that investment. So again, cost, the fixed index annuity, assuming it's the kind with no fees that we're talking about, beats bonds. Now, the other side of it is too, when you've got record low interest rates, which direction are interest rates going to go over time? They've only got one way to go, right? So we want an investment that, unlike bonds, doesn't lose money when rates go up, but makes it. Well, annuity fits that bill too, because the only way that rates can continue to go up is essentially if asset prices are rising. Inflation's got to be going up too. So now we've got an investment that is safer than bonds, makes substantially more than bonds, costs us way less than bonds, it's got no fee, and it will, the vast majority of the time, it will increase in value as interest rates rise. So when you hear Dory talking about our bond replacement program, that's what he's referring to. And why that has been such an intricate part of our portfolios dealing with the craziness of the last 10 years is because what it's allowed us to do is A, lower the cost on the portfolio, right? B, increase the security. And then C, take this 35 to 40% of your assets, which is in general how much most investors have in bonds, and they've made essentially nothing on those over the last 4 years. But now we've started generating 6-7%. Again, not guaranteed, but this is what we've averaged over the last 5-6 years. 6-7% versus 0%. So what that's enabled us to do now is it's enabled us to have a more secure or a more conservative portfolio with maybe only 50% stock exposure. But because we're getting so much more performance from the fixed indexed annuity as opposed to the bonds, the overall portfolio is still outperforming much more risky allocations like 80% stocks or 75% stocks to 25% bonds. Know your risk radio, right? Risk management. We're going to take less risk, we're going to spend less money, and we're going to still increase returns. And here's the prognosticate, and I've said this on the radio show before. Look, you may still buy into what all these blowhards are telling you about annuities. And look, like I said, a lot of it's true. You got to be, it's all the devil's in the details. If you get a bad annuity, you're going to hate it, okay? Because they are bad. I saw one the other day that had like 16-year surrender schedule. Anyway, there's a lot of bad products out there, but there are a lot of good ones too. Not as many. But think about that. You're getting 50 to 60% upside of the stock market. You're not paying a management fee and you're insured against loss. It's just math. And you might be told that it's bad, or you might be told that, oh, don't get, just listen, I don't really know what else to tell you other than that these guys are just talking out of ignorance. And here's the other prognostication I'm going to make. You may not have one now. My bet is you will in 10 years. I think 85 to 90% of retail portfolios will have these put in the next 10 years. Why? Because they're too safe and they make too much money, especially as opposed to bonds. It's going to become, and they're becoming better and better by the day. JP Morgan's getting into the game. Blackstone Group, the largest private equity firm in the world, just bought a chunk of an annuity origination company for $300 million. Okay? I'm getting you out ahead of the curve. And the other thing that we're trying to do is save our clients from having money parked for any longer than it already has been, making next to nothing in bonds. That loss of production on your capital is going to kill the retirement. We got to get those assets being productive, but we can't take more risk because this whole thing could fall apart at any minute. And I'm not saying that to be a doom and gloom guy. Just like we said, you know, you've heard the show before. This economy in the United States is better than it is around the world. But in general, guys, it's just this is just central bankers propping up asset prices. It just is. So I can't tell you when the other shoe's going to fall. I know it is. Like we've joked around before in the world, you could have the biggest arm in the world and be able to throw the ball higher in the sky than anybody else alive. But regardless, you could even throw it so high we can't see it anymore. But I guarantee you it's going to come back down. And if you want to bet me that it won't, I'll take all those bets all day long. So that's the dirtiest word in investing. Little recap. Went a little over on time. But anyway, we've got to run. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. And I forgot to say, if you want to know more about these products, which trust me, you do. Just like I said, Dory wouldn't be endorsing our firm if this was snake oil or something like that. We've been on the radio now for 3 years. Firm has grown crazy. There's a reason why. We got a better way to do things. And the average financial advisor and the average financial portfolio, whether you know it or not, is letting you down. And there's a safer, cheaper, better way to do it. And if you don't buy it now, you will later in the future. I bet your bottom dollar. But if you want to know how we're doing it, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. You can go to the radio show website, knowyourriskradio.com. You can follow us on Twitter at @KYRRadio. You can also go to Bulwark or just Google Bulwark Capital Management. You go right to our website. Check out all of our information on there. You can also email us. Maybe you want to feel this out and know more, but you don't really want to talk to anybody because you're afraid of getting stuck in the sales process. Shoot us an email, guys. Go to the website, shoot us an email, and we can just do correspondence over email. It's not pushy. We're not going to sell your information. We don't do any of that stuff. Just an education process. If you're wondering, is there something better out there? The answer is yes. Just have an open mind and ask a question and learn. And like I said, we don't just handle this. The vast majority of our business is actually managing stock portfolios, mutual fund portfolios, and exchange-traded fund portfolios. But this is a great alternative to bonds, and it's been a great addition to our clients' portfolios. So anyway, give us a call, 866-779-RISK. Go to the websites, go to the Twitter pages, sign up for the podcast, sign up for our free newsletter on our website. And that's about it. I think we covered the bases. Anyway, we got to run. We'll be right back. Thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
What does outside-the-box investing really look like? Schedule your free risk review with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management, and see a side-by-side comparison of your current portfolio versus one Zach would recommend. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com.
Volatile markets are never fun, but it provides the opportunity to see exactly how much risk you're exposed to. Like Warren Buffett always says, when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming without their trunks on. Hey, it's Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital and host of Know Your Risk Radio. Chances are the defense portion of your portfolio, the bonds, got hit right along with your stocks. So what do you do? Look, safety doesn't have to mean lower returns. By using our bond replacement strategy, our clients have actually increased their returns while being insured against loss and all the while lowering their fees. Call now and get your free copy of our brand new booklet, Common Sense Investing, and learn how to protect your retirement against loss but still participate in market gains. Call 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Or go to knowyourriskradio.com.
Bulwark Capital Management's a DBA of Clear Creek Financial Management, registered investment advisor.
I have to tell you, what a relief for my wife and me when we got signed up for long-term care coverage. The more I learned about the fact that nearly 3 out of 4 of us will need some form of long-term care in our retirement, there are so many issues at play. For some people, they can't afford it and they become a burden on their friends and family. For others, you do have money set aside, but it wipes out everything that you've saved. And maybe most importantly, it's about having a plan so that all your children have to do is carry out your wishes. It's not a burden on them. And that's why I love the advice we got from Brian Ott and 525 Advisors. We started by going to one of Brian's free classes, and that's what I recommend you do to find out about all the different plans they offer. Brian does have a few classes coming up this month. Seats are limited, so sign up now at 525longtermcare.com. You'll get a free copy of Brian's book, too. Go to 525longtermcare.com, 525longtermcare.com.
You're listening to Know Your Risk Radio with Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.
All right, welcome back to the show. We went a little over in our last segment, so we got to tidy things up here. But again, look, dirtiest word in investing, you got to be open to new things, right? And proof of that is what's happened here in the economy, right? In the markets. You know, you got to be open to the idea that even though we have our worst decade of economic growth, we are going to see record high asset prices across the board. Had you told somebody that in 2010, they'd have laughed in your face. So when you hear all these people say, oh, annuities ready. Wow, hold on. Okay, nothing is, you know, very few things are, people are painting with a broad brush and they're doing it because they're lazy and they haven't done their research and they're just regurgitating the same things that they've heard their entire career. And they're also ignoring the fact that these portfolios they're putting together haven't done what they've said they were going to do for the last 10 years. 10 years, decade is a pretty good trial run, right? And I see it all the time. Still sitting there in bonds. They've been paying their advisors more on their bond portfolios than they've been making. So if you want to see things done differently, if you want advisors who are actually adjusting the portfolio to fit the macroeconomic backdrop, if you want an extra level of protection, if you want superior performance, if you want lower cost, if you want to have an advisor that doesn't just talk to you in platitudes and tell you he's got to ride it up and down. Well, you know, if that's your prescription, then what am I paying you 1% for or 1.5% for? I can slap the money in ETFs and not pay anybody. Now, I'm not advising you do that because I think there's a much better way to go about doing that, which we've got an algorithmically managed ETF portfolio that automatically gets more defensive as economic conditions turn south. Right? Know Your Risk Radio. Everything we do is in risk management. And guys, here's the deal. We're not giving up upside performance. We're outperforming the typical and historically normal stock bond portfolio. And if that sounds too good to be true, it's not. We're not talking about guaranteed ways of making 10% or 12% or a risk-free way to beat the market every year or a guaranteed trading strategy. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about something that makes 5.5% to 6.5%. It's not a big deal, but in this interest rate environment, it is. And keep that in mind. If your safe portion of your portfolio, if your defensive portion of your portfolio is generating 2.5% to 3% more than it currently is, that ends up being almost a 50% difference over a 10-year period of time. That's a substantial amount of money. And like I said, you're getting that extra performance with lower cost and lower risk. And that's not all we do, but that's a perfect example of how we look at things. We're thinking outside the box. We're trying to come up with better ways to manage our clients through these unprecedented economic times and not give up performance. And if that interests you, call us. 866-779-RISK. Again, 866-779-RISK. Go to the radio show website at knowyourriskradio.com. Go to the Twitter at KYRRadio. Go to Bulwark Capital's website. BulwarkCapitalManagement.com or it's BulwarkCapitalMGMT.com, I believe is what it is. Kind of a lengthy one, but we got a lot of good info in there. You can sign up for our free newsletter. You can get our white paper about fixed indexed annuities outperforming bonds that was written by a PhD at Yale, Roger Ibbotson, who also runs a $1 billion hedge fund. Look, guys, there's a better way to do it. And if you're open to new ideas and you're willing to get educated on new things, we can do it. If you're looking to take less risk and have more certainty in retirement and also get better return, we can do it. You just got to be open and you got to get a second opinion. So give us a call. Hey, look, and if you don't want to have that phone conversation, like I said in the last segment, email us. We'll do email correspondence back and forth. We'll just email you the proof. We'll email you the stuff. We'll do it right over email. You don't have to engage us. So anyway, get a hold of us, 866-779-RIS. Shoot us an email and hopefully we'll hear from you soon. We got to run until now, or excuse me, until we're back, until then, have a great week and go Mariners. Hopefully they're keeping that crazy run going. Anyway, thanks for listening. This is Know Your Risk Radio on AM 770 KTTH.
Thanks for listening to Know Your Risk Radio. Whether it's preservation of capital or an aggressive growth strategy, every investor needs a clearly defined risk profile. Schedule your free risk review at knowyourriskradio.com. Tune in next week to Know Your Risk Radio with your host, Zach Abraham, Chief Investment Officer at Bulwark Capital Management.